What is the most valuable thing that any person can possess? The answer would come as a surprise to many living today. Pay special attention as Brother Kevin Canals, who serves as a circuit overseer in the Northern Alberta and Northwest Territories, presents the answer in the talk, Jehovah's Loyal Love is Better Than Life.
Loyalty is rare today. Think of putting decades into a company, giving and giving to your employer. Downturn, let go. Or a friend who has hurt you by their words, or even worse, by their actions. Or marriage, maybe a marriage of many years, abandoned. See, few things hurt us more deeply than being disappointed by someone that we trust. Is there anyone that we can be completely loyal to and expect complete loyalty back? Well, consider the experience of King David in ancient Israel. Now, this Bible character, King David, he was faced with disloyalty at its worst. His own king was wrongly accusing him, full of jealousy, to the point that one night they were relaxing in the king's house. David was playing on the harp, and King Saul was so full of jealousy that he took that opportunity to try to put David to death with his spear. David narrowly escaped with his life. He had to run, just with the clothes on his back, out into the wilderness. In fact, his wife Michal told him, if you do not escape tonight, you will be a dead man. At least he had that wife, that loving wife, Michal. But sadly, some time later, after David was himself installed as king, Michal started to become upset with David's way of ruling, upset with his way of worshiping Jehovah, upset with his humility. She didn't just draw away from him. The scriptures say she despised him in her heart. Well, at least David would have had other family. Plus, he was the king. Ambition, though, can undermine loyalty. His own son, Absalom, his ambition impelled him to rebel against his own father. He wanted the kingship, and he wanted it now. Well, as heart-wrenching as that would be, at least David had some loyal men, some trusted friends. You know, the kind of friends that they've been there through the bad times with you. One of these friends was Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel was noted in the scriptures as his personal trusted advisor. In fact, David so highly esteemed the counsel of his good friend Ahithophel that basically he viewed it as though it was directly the word from Jehovah. Can you imagine the feelings David would have had when he was told that Ahithophel was among those conspiring with Absalom? Did David conclude that there is no one that will ever be able to be completely loyal? Well, let's read. I encourage you to turn to Psalm 21 and verse 7. That's Psalm 21 and verse 7. Notice the expression that David uses. He says, for the king trusts in Jehovah. Why? Because of the loyal love of the Most High, he will never be shaken. Did you notice there that expression, loyal love? See, David was able to be a man of unshakable faith because he was confident that no matter what a human may do to prove disloyal and to disappoint him, Jehovah would always remain loyal. In fact, did you notice there he mentioned Jehovah as the Most High? Let's look at another scripture that can tell us the degree of this loyal love. Please turn to Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4. It's Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4. It says here, "Who will not really fear you, Jehovah, and glorify your name, for you alone are loyal? For all the nations will come and worship before you, because your righteous decrees have been revealed." David called Jehovah the Most High. In this scripture we read that he alone is called loyal. Now, wait a second. What does this mean? How could that be? Can't humans show loyalty? Haven't angels shown remarkable loyalty? Even Jesus Christ himself? So how could it be said that Jehovah alone is loyal? Well, really, Jehovah being the source of love, and thus the source of true loyalty or loyal love, he would be able to have this quality to the supreme degree. So while humans and angels could reflect this attribute of Jehovah's, he would be the very epitome of loyalty. You know, that expression, loyal love, it's really interesting how Bible translation works, how language works, because the original Hebrew word that is properly rendered loyal love, it's so rich in meaning that a single word would not really cover it. It's been rendered in the past as loving kindness, but this too, it implies that it would involve just being a nice person. One Bible dictionary regarding this Hebrew term describes it as the interaction of strength, steadfastness, and love. Strength, steadfastness, and love. It goes on to say that any understanding of the word that fails to suggest all three of these things would inevitably lose some of the richness. It's love that's motivated by commitment, integrity, and that loyalty. It's often used, this idea of attaching oneself with love, it's often used in connection with the word faithfulness. Well, faithful to what? When we think of Jehovah's love, let's see what he's faithful to. In Psalm 145 and verse 17. Psalm 145 and verse 17. It says there, "Jehovah is righteous in all his ways and loyal in all that he does." Just keep your place there. What this is saying is that Jehovah remains true to his standards of what is right and wrong. He gives clear moral direction. He's not all over the place with his standards. In fact, if you take a look at the next verse, he's not just loyal to himself or faithful to his own standards. He's near to all those calling on him, to all who call on him in truth. Yes, he's not just loyal to himself. He extends that loyal love. In fact, let's take a look at another psalm where it really spells it out. Psalm 18 and verse 25. So please turn back to Psalm 18 and verse 25. Now this is where we come in. This is where we benefit from this understanding, this definition of Jehovah's loyal love. Verse 25 of Psalm 18 says, "With someone loyal, you act in loyalty. With the blameless man, you deal blamelessly." The promise is that if someone turns to Jehovah, if someone wants to be loyal to Jehovah, he guarantees that he will be there for them. He will not abandon any of his loyal servants. Anyone who needs help or deliverance, Jehovah promises he will be there. See, Jehovah displays his loyalty by hearing their cries for help, but this isn't passive loyalty. Loyal love is action. Yes, Jehovah takes action at his appointed time, and it does not waver as long as those remain loyal to him. Isn't that incredible? In fact, the scriptures refer to Jehovah's loyal love extending right through to even ones who may experience death, because Jehovah is the creator and the resurrector. Isn't that incredible? Just think about this. The sovereign, almighty God of the universe has your back. If you are loyal to him, he promises, no matter what, he will act for you. Now, could it be at some point in your life, maybe even recently, maybe even right now, that you've questioned whether or not Jehovah has you in this category of being a loyal servant? Have certain things that you've experienced recently made you wonder if maybe you were in that category, but are you fighting weaknesses? Do you feel that could God have abandoned you with what you're experiencing? Or maybe you're new to learning about God, and you wonder, with the things that you've had to go through, is this concept of loyalty from a creator even possible? Well, let's continue considering the example of that Bible character, David. See, interestingly, if we think about some of the way that Jehovah had the Bible books recorded, the passages in the scripture, you know, sometimes we are reading of events and, good stories, how Jehovah dealt. But what's great is that some portions of the Bible, like some of the Psalms, they let us peer into the feelings of the characters involved. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm 63. And I encourage you to keep your place there. Psalm 63. Now, we read in the superscription, that's those tiny words before the psalm begins, that this is a melody of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It's likely that the setting for David writing this psalm is when he was forced to flee Jerusalem and live as a fugitive in the wilderness of Judah because of his son Absalom's rebellion, along with his trusted advisor who had turned traitor. Now, at a time when most men would feel overwhelmed with discouragement, David here is consoled by reaching out to God. Let's take this psalm step by step and see what we can learn from it. Verse 1. O God, you are my God. I keep looking for you. I do thirst for you. I am faint with longing for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. See, as David wandered in the desert, his greatest thirst was for spiritual food, spiritual refreshment. He wanted sustenance from his creator, Jehovah. He uses this word longing. He was wanting. He was turning to him. What's the lesson for us? We have to be conscious of satisfying our spiritual need. And we do that by doing just what David did, turning to Jehovah in prayer every day. Step one, are we talking to Jehovah? How does a friendship work? How does loyalty and trust build in a relationship? Communication. Well, let's look at verse 2. So I have looked upon you in the holy place. I have seen your strength and your glory. See, David developed his spiritual appetite by reading God's law. And not just reading it himself, but he says, in the holy place, at his sanctuary. Remember, David's on the run from Jerusalem. He was yearning when he could be back to the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, back in the meeting place of pure worship. What's the lesson for us? Like David, are we looking for Jehovah's view? Are we reading his word? Are we meeting regularly at his places of worship today? Let's take a look at verse 3. Because your loyal love is better than life, my own lips will glorify you. Thus, I will praise you all my life. In your name, I will lift up my hands. I am satisfied with the best and choicest portion, so my mouth will praise you with joy on my lips. Now, how could David be talking about being on the run from his own family as this being the best and choicest portion? Well, it's because David focused not on the gift of life, that is, the gift that Jehovah has given each of us, ourselves, our own lives. No, he was focusing on its giver, the one who made it all possible. He was not focused on himself. Instead of complaining about his problems, David sang praises to Jehovah. He was satisfied with the reassurance of Jehovah's loving care. Now, does Jehovah want us to forfeit a better way of life today? No, the fact is we would be wrong in our thinking if we were to try to figure this out ourselves. You know, some may try to do this by building a bank account, or by securing employment, or by making a name for themselves in their community. But it's not a matter of servitude under duress that Jehovah wants us to be benefiting from his way. It's not just to get us, you know, painfully through the great tribulation and then we can start enjoying life. No, it's the way we are designed to live even in this imperfect system around us. Jehovah created us. He knows the way that brings the greatest joy. What's the lesson for us? There's nothing that this world has to offer that is better than Jehovah's loyal love and his friendship with us. Now, what if our mind isn't quite there? How could we correct our mind so that we don't rely on ourselves? Well, let's take a look at verse 6. David says, I remember you while upon my bed. I meditate on you during the watches of the night. For you are my helper, and I shout joyfully in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand keeps fast hold on me. What did David do? Well, we read there, he says, I remember. I meditate. David often meditated on past acts of loyal love that he himself had experienced. Now, this was even, as we read, even during the nights when he couldn't sleep. But he was able to find peace. His heart was actually able to find peace no matter what the distress, because he was able to remember all of the times that he saw Jehovah act in his behalf. We get a sense here when we look at verse 8. David treasured his relationship with Jehovah. It was an intimate relationship. It was a real friendship. And his desire was to keep clinging, to keep holding fast. He was thankful that Jehovah had extended that opportunity of friendship to him. What's the lesson for us? Well, we do experience trials. We do experience distressing situations, whether it's health, financial, economic, or any of the other ways that Satan can hurt us. But think back, remember, meditate. Has Jehovah ever acted for you? Maybe a small way, maybe a big way. The lesson for us is we must continually remind ourselves of those moments. In fact, some even write them down so that it's easy to do that exercise when they're feeling discouraged or questioning if Jehovah has abandoned them. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. But those who seek to destroy my life will descend into the depths of the earth. They will be handed over to the power of the sword. They will become food for jackals. Now remember, David's on the run for his life. But with that confidence that we've read already in the 63rd Psalm, David knew that his enemies were also God's enemies. Now, once you have that determination or that understanding, what do you know will be the fate of God's enemies? See, he was confident that they would suffer defeat. Here we read the vivid words, they will become food for jackals. Well, what happened in that story? Well, the traitorous Absalom, along with Ahithophel, all who joined them suffered a humiliating defeat. Thousands died in battle when Jehovah acted for David. What's the lesson for us? Jehovah will eventually act for us, no matter whether we're facing actual persecution like David was, with enemies that are trying to kill us, or other enemies in Satan's world. Now we say, eventually act. Remember, we already addressed that Jehovah shows his loyal love not by being passive, but by taking action in his appointed time. It could be that sometimes when we're wondering, where is Jehovah? He's been there all along, but he has an appointed time to act for us. He's not forgotten us. He knows exactly where we are, and he will give us everything we need to deal and find peace in the meantime. It could even be so far as acting to destroy our enemies. Well, let's read verse 11. It says, but the king will rejoice in God. Every person swearing by him will exalt, for the mouth of those speaking lies will be silenced. See, David's confidence, time after time in what he went through in life, his confidence in Jehovah's loyal love, it was not misplaced. And when we see how this verse concludes, the fact that the mouth of those speaking lies will be silenced, you know, one who would be speaking lies would be one who is suggesting, either by their words or their actions, that God's standards or his ways are not worth being loyal to. But then they would not benefit from the promise, those loyal to Jehovah, he is loyal back. That's why David was assuring the reader that the king will rejoice in God, every person swearing by him will exalt. The lesson for us, let's want to be loyal to Jehovah. Let's take pride in the fact that we can have an approved standing with him. So, what have we learned from this account? Well, life without Jehovah's loyal love, really, if we stop and think about it, it wouldn't be much of a life at all. That expression, loyal love, what it stands for, what it means, and that we can benefit from it. We really, when reflecting on it, it's worth more than our own existence. It's worth more than our own self. Putting ourselves in Jehovah's hands is a way better idea than putting ourselves in our own hands. And we considered some simple steps when we read David's example, didn't we? Despite what he had went through, he realized that without Jehovah's loyal love, life was meaningless, purposeless. So what were the steps? He cultivated that friendship with Jehovah. Do you remember some of the key ways he did this? Pray. Read his word. Meet at his places of worship. And remember the times that you know Jehovah acted in your behalf. If that list may seem to us to not be very long, we might need to just think a little harder. Because the simple fact is we can do this. We can be in that category of those who Jehovah views as loyal, and then we will get the promise that he will be loyal in return. Jehovah assures us that he will sustain us no matter what we go through. He will act in his appointed time, and he will give us the peace to deal in the meantime. By remaining loyal to our God Jehovah, we will benefit from his loyal love forever.
Thank you, Brother Knaus. We appreciated that faith-strengthening discussion.